Praise the name of Jesus. All right. Are we okay today? Something's making some noise. Lorraine, can you kill this one? I think it's the keyboard. No, I don't have a cell phone in me. Anyway, I hope it doesn't interrupt us. It's an interesting morning today. Oh, God is so good. You know, he's done so many wonderful things for us. You know, like Brother Julius was saying, you know, even to be alive on a day like this, it's a miracle. You know, have you ever realized that when you go to bed, you have no control? When you close those eyes, you have no idea what happens. You just close your eyes. When you open them up, it's in the morning. Isn't that not a miracle? If that's not a miracle, then what is a miracle, honestly? You know, I believe that God moves in our lives in such strange ways, in such miraculous ways, that if we don't notice the little things that he's doing in our lives, even when he does the big things, we'll not even be able to understand that they are the workings of God. Amen. This morning, I want to take us to very basic things, and I'll explain why. But before I say that, I'd like to share something that I read last night, which I thought was interesting. Her name is Irene. Do you have an Irene in the house today? No. Okay, so it's okay. So that name passes. So it's not the Irene you know. This is just a name I made up. You know, somebody called Irene. So if you like, you can call her any other name. So Irene was the leading church gossiper in that church, which we don't know. And she was the self-appointed monitor of the church's morals. She kept sticking her nose into other people's businesses. And several members did not approve of her extracurricular activities, but feared her enough to maintain their silence. She made a mistake, however, when she accused George, who is not a member of this church, a new member, of being an alcoholic after she saw her, his old blue truck parked in front of the town's only bar one afternoon. She emphatically told George and several others that everyone seeing it there would know exactly what he was doing. George, a man of few words, stared at her for a few moments and just turned away. He didn't explain, defend, or deny. He said nothing. Later that evening, George quietly parked his blue pickup in front of Irene's house, walked away, and left it there all night. All right. So our text for today is Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1. And the topic for today is my Christian faith beyond the basics. My Christian faith beyond the basics. Therefore, let us go on toward perfection, leaving behind the basic teaching about Christ, and not laying again the foundation, repentance from dead works and faith toward God, instructions about baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Let us go on toward perfection. Holy Spirit, this morning I pray for your revelation over this scripture. That God, as we share the words that you've placed in my heart, that they will touch somebody's life this morning. Open our understanding, open our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. The writer of Hebrew is challenging the reader, and we don't even know who the writer of Hebrew is, but whoever he is or she is, this text is written to whoever is going to read. And us who are the readers this morning are being challenged. And if you read Hebrews chapter 5, there's a lot of information that is provided. So in chapter 6 is basically a continuation of what he has been talking about in chapter 5. And he says, therefore, after all these that I've said, therefore, let us go on toward perfection. In other words, let us not stop here. We've got a journey to make. We've got a way to go on. This is just elementary. This was just basic. This was just primary. There is a secondary to go for. There is a high to go for. There is a perfection for us to achieve. He says, let us not remain where we are. You know stuff, that is good enough. You know about the baptism, that is good enough. You know about salvation, that is good enough. But do not stay there. He says, let us go on toward perfection. Let us go on toward to the next level. And as I was reading this text, so many things came to my mind. And I realized that so many of us are so comfortable in where we are. We have failed to realize that we are in the new basic. Think about it. You know, and it troubled my heart. It troubled my mind when I realized that many people, many Christians, go to churches. They don't read their Bible. They don't read the scriptures. And they depend on the person who is standing here to be able to interpret that scripture for them. When God has given you the same Holy Spirit, let me tell you, beloved, you can read the scripture and the Holy Spirit will interpret that scripture to you in a very different and very powerful way. All that you gotta do is to pick that Bible, pick up a scripture and read it, and He will reveal it to you. I'm amazed the way sometimes we keep on honoring people, and it's okay to honor people. Men of God, if I am a man of God, what does that make you, my brother, my sister? All that I do is read the scripture. If you read the scripture and the Holy Spirit reveals it to you the same way, you are a man of God. You are a woman of God. If I am a man of God, you equally are a man of God. Praise the name of Jesus. And the writer of Hebrews is challenging us. Do not stay there. There is a problem if you stay in the same place. There is a problem if your knowledge is just basic. There is a problem if your knowledge is just primary. There is a problem if your knowledge is just where it is. Many years ago, when I was doing my accounting in Kenya, there was a paper which used to be called business law. And we were, you know, this was the first time that we were encountering the law. And so we articulated and, we tried to memorize all those, case laws so that, you can write them in your paper. But then we started becoming, like the sharp guys that, we would think or we'd purport to be. And so you'd know, the guys who are just interacting with the low class, when you meet them in the bus or wherever they are, and all that they're talking about is about basic law cases. And you'd think, to them, we thought that we are we've really made it, we really know. But to the others, they were looking at us and saying, they have just started the class. Isn't that what happens when you go to those classes? Maybe it's a biology or chemistry class, and you get those formulas, so you start speaking like you've known them all along, but it's just basic. The problem with basic is that you cannot form a decision on basics. Am I talking to somebody? You cannot be able to do anything with the basics. It's just basic. For that child who is still suckling, that child who is still sucking milk, there is nothing else beyond suckling milk or drinking milk or whatever they do. It is just that. And the writer of Hebrews is telling us, go beyond there. And the problem is that the writer of Hebrews had looked around the community and he had seen people who should not be living in the basics. And they were still there. An abstract example would be, for example, if you saw me, like there was a time somebody set me up, and this was totally wrong, but the good thing is that it was a bottle of juice or something like that. But it had a sucker. That's the right name. And we were supposed to be suckling, that thing. But, people laughed because this is odd. This is weird. This is queer. How can a grown man with beards, suckle? And there are people who actually did it, and I'll not name names in this place. It is odd. It is very strange. Because that's what Paul is saying. There are some of you, the writer of Hebrews is saying, there are some of you, I'm writing this because there are some of you that are here that should not be sucking those bottles. Yet you're sucking those bottles. You're sucking those bottles. You need to go beyond the basics. And what is these basics that the writer is talking about? The first one is talking about the repentance. Second is faith towards God. Third is instructions about baptism. Fourth, laying on of hands, resurrection, eternal judgment. Things he considered to be basics. Now, they may not be basic to you today, because this was actually referring to the teachers of the of the Judaism. Within that community. So for the Judaism, this was the basic thing. This was the really elementary. It was the one-on-one, the 1+1. Everyone knows that 1+1 is 2 in normal mathematics, because in others, 1+1 will be something else. But the one that I was taught was 1+1 is 2. So the very basics. And the writer is saying, if you know that, then you've stayed there for too long. You need to move on. But the thing I struggled with and I was asking myself is that why is the writer of Hebrews so emphatic about going beyond the basics? Why is it necessary for me if I've gone through primary school? Why is it the designers of education purposely to be in levels so that if you overcome one level or one grade, you automatically go to the next one? Why did they ever do such a thing? Because if you stay in one level, even that which you know starts not being useful to you. If you know that 1 + 1 = 1, and that is all that you ever know, then you'll never progress. You can never progress. You'll just be stuck right there. In verse 4, he says, "For it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have once been enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the age to come, and have fallen away, since on their own they are crucifying again the Son of God and holding him up to contempt." In a few words, what he's saying is that these people who are still living in the basics, they have taken those words, the way they understand them, made them to be the absolute, that there is no other information, there is nothing else above that, and they have considered it is not useful for me anymore. And so they have turned away. And when they turn away, the writer is saying it is impossible. Because this person will come and tell you that I know all these things. I know about baptism. I know about repentance. I know about faith towards God. I know about the eternal judgment. But all that is rubbish. All that is nonsense. How do you convince them? It is, you know, these people who have fallen away from the truth. People who have fallen from the word of God. It is so hard to bring them back. You know, try to convince a person that I can't drink alcohol. And I'm not saying alcohol is bad. Drinking alcohol. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day and an argument came up about drinking of wine and, Jesus making wine. But I kept saying that, you know, the concepts are very different. The way it's in the text is very different. The communities are completely different. If you think for a moment how Christianity was induced in Africa, we had our own religion. Africans had their own religion, African traditional religions, and there was nothing wrong with them. We had our own God, our own deity, and we worshipped that deity. But when the colonialists came and the missionaries came, I don't know the difference between them, but when they came, on one hand, we think they're missionaries, but on the other hand, they're actually colonialists. On one hand, they were holding the Bible, and on the other hand, they were holding a gun. So on one hand, they would tell you, do not drink wine because that is evil. And on the other hand, they were actually sitting back and celebrating with the same wine. So Africans got confused. What is this Modogo saying? You know, on one hand, he's saying this. On the other hand, he's saying this. Do we repent? Do we change? Do we drink? What do we do? And that's why we actually had a lot of the struggles to reclaim Christianity, because the Africans still believed that our Christianity made more sense than the Christianity that was actually brought. That is a topic for another day. Christians who have benefited from the basic elementary teachings and have not progressed face the danger of being swayed away. If you consider yourself a basic Christian, then you risk a danger of being swayed away by the different teachings that are coming in the world today. Oh, and aren't they many? And there are so many teachings that have come. Every week there is something new that is coming in. I'm amazed. You know, I think there are either Christians are very innovative or pseudo-Christians have emerged in a way that we have never known before. Because I don't believe that these are genuine Christians. I don't believe that somebody who genuinely believed that Christ came and died for us at the cross of Calvary, for us to be redeemed, a generation that was lost, that we may find grace one more time, that we may find forgiveness one more time, that we may be restored and that relationship between us and God may be restored. If truly we believe that is what happened, then I have a problem with the kind of things that have happened in the recent, if we could just say, the last 3 months of 2014. And I was asking myself, where are the real Christians? Where are the Christians today? Where are the Christians who have understood Christianity beyond the basics? Where are the Christians who know Jesus beyond the crucifixion? Where are the Christians who know Jesus beyond ascending up in the sky and him sending down the Holy Spirit and ministering? Where are those Christians today? Where are the Christians who have separated themselves from arguments of alcohol and arguments of drinking and indulging? Where are the Christians who are teaching about the second coming of Christ? Where are those Christians today? Knowing Jesus beyond the basics. Growing your faith beyond the basic. We all know all these basic things. And the writer says, that is good. Move on. You know it? Good enough. You gotta move on. In recent days, there's been a lot of things that has actually happened to the Christian movement. Last year, or the year before, or I don't even know how to say it, the church has been attacked in so many ways. And the church, I mean the Christians, we've been attacked in so many ways that sometimes we can't even, we get confused. What does this mean? The LGBT community has penetrated into the Christian community in such a way and forceful way that even the Christians, we are afraid to speak about it anymore. Because you want to be politically correct. You want to say, yeah, I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say. One leading preacher was asked, you know, so, okay, there's these discussions that are going on about the gay, lesbian community. So what do you do, you know, when they are in your community? What do you do? And knowing that it's a setup because it was national TV, he said that they are welcome. They are welcome to come to the church anytime. But it will not stop me from preaching the gospel. A sin is a sin, and I'll continue preaching that sinners may repent. He didn't accuse them. He didn't say anything. All that he said is that I'll continue preaching as if everybody who was there was a sinner requiring to hear the gospel of Jesus towards repentance. Perhaps that's an easy way of just dissolving a crisis. But the church has been accused in so many ways about the LGBT community. A pastor indulged in such instances. What do you do as a congregation? Recently, I think it was yesterday, I was just looking at some of the recent developments within the churches. And one pastor, I think in Virginia, he confessed before his church that he has been adulterous. And he collapsed and died. It was in the news yesterday. In South Africa, I know you know this. This pastor tells his congregation, do you know why you're not close to God? It's because you're not eating grass. So let us all go after this service. Let us go and eat grass. Behold the congregation, one by one. Men of dignity and the lowest of them all. They went and they were crawling and they were eating grass like cows. And I wonder what those cows were thinking when they saw people eating their food. Think about it. My faith beyond the basics. If somebody came and told you that we are going to eat grass just there by the Chase Bank, probably the only thing that will stop you from eating that grass is the embarrassment. Not too long ago after that, in fact, oh, let me just say something that I read which was very interesting. There is one member of the congregation, an educated person. She's actually a law student. And she was asked, what is all this that is going on? You know, you guys eating grass. And surely you are mature. You should know that you can't eat grass. Grass is grass. This is what she said. Yes, we eat grass. And we are proud of it. Because it demonstrates that with God's power, we can do anything. A 21-year-old law student. Where are we heading to? Christianity beyond the basics, people. Because we don't read the Bible for ourselves. We depend on people to come and interpret the scriptures for us. And they say, see, the Bible says, and he ate grass. Let's go and eat grass. And we all go like sheep and start munching that grass. February 11th, more shocking news. They hit the waves in a church, Southampton, Virginia, a small congregation. They don't care about the basic little things. They worship the same way we all do, the same way we came to this world, naked. Noi. Just like that. And the pastor says, that's the way it's going to be. The church has members. Maybe it's more members than Empowerment Christian Center. If the pastor was here, maybe you'd say, can we try that? But can you believe it? Can you believe that normal human beings are being told that this is, you know, we need to go before the presence of God open. We don't need clothes, you know, because these are a hindrance. God can't see our hearts with these clothes. Let's just lay them off. And you come driving your vehicle just like that and enter the church just like that and you worship. I mean, how do you even look at each other? How do you even sit and even comprehend that, you know, yes, we are worshiping God. Really? Knowing God beyond the basics. In March, this March, you saw it, you read it, fellow Kenyans. The pastor said what he said. That, you know, that's the only way that God can be able to reach you. Kwani, what kind of God is this? Which God do we understand when we talk about this God, who is the very basics that we've talked about, this God who helps us, who sends his grace because of his love for us, a generation that is lost, that he loves us so much that he doesn't want any of us to perish. Because of that grace, he sends his son, Jesus Christ, to go and die for us at the cross of Calvary. This same God who resurrects Jesus from the dead and then tells us, now you guys, you got to live the right way because at that appointed time, I'm coming back and I will take them that have been living the right way. Then which God does this suddenly change that he cannot be able to see us unless the things that are physical in our minds can be removed from his view so that God can see us in a better way? Knowing God beyond the basic. How do you know your God? How is your faith moving on? Do you depend on the Sunday service or 90.1 or 94.9 or whatever channels they are, 89.0, you know, for your encouragement? What about you? When you go home, do you get the scripture and say, God, reveal these words to me? The writer of Hebrews says, if you don't, you are in danger. Because these congregations, and these are the only, you know, three that I highlighted, we could have researched for more. Probably you know some that I haven't even, you know, I didn't even find out. But because these congregations decided that we'll just be depending on that person who stands in that pulpit to feed me, to give me interpretations, what he thinks becomes the ultimate truth for me, these people start living a life that becomes news. And everybody's like, how could they? Let me ask you. When the preacher comes, and if it's a church that you are familiar with, I make no apologies. But if a preacher comes and tells you that I want each one of you to start bringing in $54 or $59 or whichever it is every week, and at the end of the year, you're going to be blessed. And people rush to do that. People rush to do that. If you are one of the ones that are rushed to do that, I think you're living in basic Christianity. Let's tell it as it is. It's basic Christianity. You need to grow up. You need to move on. The reason why we have pastors and churches that are thriving in things that are ungodly is because the congregations are not planted in the word of God. They depend on this one man. So if today I say it's 54, and then tomorrow an associate pastor comes and says it's 108, you still believe it's the word of God. So when did God change that verse then? Whichever verse is being read. Aren't we being misled? Aren't you being misled? And it's the same information, the same scripture. The only difference is maybe one is King James, Revised Standard Version, whatever it is. That is the only difference. But it is the same word of God. People of God, why don't you read the word and ask for the Spirit of God to give us revelation? Why are we being taken for granted, children of God? Some of these things are just laughable. At you're going to church naked. At you're going to eat grass outside there. At every Sunday you give $54 and God is going to multiply that money. What is the difference between that and being told, you know, ladies, you know, I have banned those things, don't wear them again? What is the difference? Basic Christianity. That is what it is. That's what it is. If all we know, children of God, is about Christ being crucified at the cross of Calvary, if all we know is the basic Judaic Christianity doctrines, if that is all we know, then we are in danger. We are in danger. Because people will come from every corner of the world and tap on that group. And small groups will be emerging everywhere, being misled, being misled that, no, that's not what the Bible says. This is what it says. And they will take those words and they'll coin them until they get you. Knowing God beyond the basic. May God help us. May God help us. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, the writer says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are so slow to learn. That we are so stuck on the basics, it is so hard for somebody to get us from there. You know, if you've just been drinking milk and nothing else, when they start mashing those bananas or potatoes, whatever it is that they give nowadays, that child will be like, I don't like this, and they'll start removing it from the mouth. Because that's not what they're used to. You're just used to milk, basic milk. And that's the same with us as Christians. When Christians have just been given the basic gospel, the basic information that's already there, things that we learned when we were in Sunday school, when we grew up, we did them, you know, all these things. Why is it that we are still going through the same thing over and over again? When do we mature up? When do we get ready? When do we get ready to progress to the next level? In verse 12, he says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, he's addressing that community. And let's assume that community is Empowerment Christian Center for a moment. And he says, we have so much to say. We, the writers of Hebrews, we have so much to say. But it is so hard to explain to you because you have just been dwelling on the basic issues. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, that is that you guys, you know, from the time you became Christians, you ought to have advanced there. You need to be instructors. You need to be the ones advising these others that are coming up. You ought to be teachers. But now, you actually do need somebody to teach you the elementary truths of God all over again. You need to be taught all over. You need to be retaught. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The question is, are you still drinking milk? It's about time you kick that bottle. Are you still dependent on the preacher? It's about time you kick that habit. Because before long, we may see somebody eating grass. Before long, we may see somebody doing some strange things and say the pastor said so. When do we get that discerning spirit within us and take control and say, no, that's not the Bible. That's not how I understand the scripture speaking to me. When do we reach that point? When do we reach that point of saying, no, enough of being manipulated? I've had it. But you can only do that if this scripture is implanted in your heart. That's what David says in Psalms 119:11. Your word have I planted in my heart that I may not sin against you. Your word I have planted in my heart. It cannot be planted by anybody else. It's only you reading it in the morning or whenever God gives you that opportunity. Sometimes, you know, we assume that the only way that I can be able to read this is when I read, you know, a whole chapter and that kind of a thing. No, give yourself a moment every day. You know, whichever, if you feel like it's a Psalms, it's a day for reading Psalms, go ahead and read the Psalms. God will speak to you in his own way. But read the word of God for yourself. That little child, that little infant knows nothing. You know, that little child cannot go to the oven or cannot go to the pantry and decide that today I'm going to eat macaroni cheese and start looking for where the macaroni is. They'll just wait for you to give them that milk. They'll wait for you to warm that thing in the bowl and come and, you know, koroga koroga and start giving them. You know, that's all they know. They're just expectant on you. But Christians, isn't that how we are? Expectant on our mothers who are the pastors to come and feed us every day. And then when these divisions and when these issues come and the misleading doctrines come in the church, we are just easily swayed away. You start asking, where did so-and-so go? Oh, they are the ones who they worship naked. Where did so-and-so? Oh, they are the ones who eat grass. And so-and-so, I end up, they are the ones who don't wear some clothes. Surely, when will the word of God be planted in our hearts? The moment the word of God is planted in our hearts, we mature up. That is the moment that you say, I'm no longer drinking milk. I'm now ready for solid food. There's one interesting verse that I read, I think in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse, maybe somewhere 3 or 4. And it says, as the Lord permits. And I thought it was interesting for this verse to be inserted there. Because I realized that sometimes as a mother, You may continue feeding that child that milk, but it's only the mother who knows that this child is ready for hard food. You may try to give that child ugali, and the child is, I'm not taking that. So you decide, no, I'm going to do it slowly. I'll be giving a little ugali, or I'll be a little banana, or a little this. You know, so you can, like, you know, go step by step. And God, in my mind, takes that mother role, you know, says, as the Lord permits, because he knows you in such a way that, you know, I cannot rush this person. This person is not ready. But you've got, you know, that child makes that willingness, that desire, the body starts changing, the child starts getting healthy because they're eating that, you know, you say, oh, the child can't eat ugali in the morning and ugali in the evening. No, I'll just give ugali once, or maybe I'll give porridge once, or maybe I'll give a banana once. And then you see the child is progressing, I'll start giving this, you know what you mothers do. And the child starts progressing as the mother wills, as God wills, or as God permits. Solid food is only reserved for the mature. I declare to you that if you are a person who will take the scripture today and read, even those scriptures that you don't understand, and you tell God, I'm stuck here. Can you explain to me what this means? I want to declare to you that you're a mature person. I want to declare to you that if you're the person that hears a sermon, and when you go home, you're still contemplating, what was that guy talking about? And you go through the scripture and say, God, Spirit of God, give me a revelation. Help me understand what this man was saying. I didn't agree with him here. I didn't agree with him there. I want to declare to you that you're a mature person. I want to declare to you that you're a mature person if you're the kind of a person who will not take anything that you're just told for granted. It is okay to question. The Bible says, have a discernful spirit. Don't just take everything that you're being given. Test the spirits. You don't know where this person was. You don't know what he did. This congregation didn't know that their pastor was an adulterer. That congregation didn't know that their pastor was, you know, involved in some queer businesses and stuff like that. They didn't know. But if you test the spirit, you will have children of God. We are born of spirit. In your spirit, we connect with God, and I connect with each other. We connect with each other as humans. So we complete that communication level. So if somebody is speaking something, don't just say, oh, Pastor Mesema, oh, thank you, Jesus. Test the spirits. If you test the spirit, the churches all over are testing the spirit. Some of the denominations that we have would not even be there. Some of these things that's just, you know, the church I think I was talking about was propeller. I just remembered. It's even called a propeller. I'll not even go there. We need to go beyond the basics. We need to go beyond the basics. Children of God, I'm pleading with you. Let's go beyond the basics. Do not despise yourself. You have a perfect knowledge. You have a perfect understanding skill of the Word of God. The same way you're hearing me right now and understanding exactly what I'm saying, you can take this Bible, read through the scriptures, and God will give you revelation. And probably you'll understand some scriptures better than they've ever been preached by any pastor. Better than any person. Do not despise yourself. Do not despise yourself. Read the scriptures for yourself. Don't allow yourself to be swayed by words of humans, you know, declaring you to do things that have never been seen or heard, or things that have no history, that we are the ones who are making history, will be eating grass before we come and worship. Shame on us if that ever comes. Let's go beyond the basics. My faith needs to grow. My faith does not need to remain just there and sing Christ at the cross. That is good enough, but I need to move on. I need to press on towards the mark, like Paul says. I cannot allow myself to stay in one place. I must move on. I must push on towards the mark. Praise the name of Jesus. But what does this living beyond the basics mean? What does it mean beyond the basic? I have related to it in many ways, but just in summary, number one, I'll say that living beyond the basics is maturing up. It's growing up. It's refusing to remain in the same status as you were yesterday, last week, last month, last year. And I'll step on some toes this morning. You know, some of us, if we were to ever give a testimony, it will be a very, very difficult testimony. You know, like the testimonies that we gave when we are still in back home, you know, basic, like a testimony of 11 years ago, 12 years ago. Does it mean that God is not doing anything in our lives? No, he's always doing something in our lives. But because we don't share our testimonies, they kind of like get you know, stuck. It's like if you have dirt that has remained in one place without being cleaned and other dirt comes in, so it just clogs there and just grows. But if you keep on cleaning and giving it away and giving it away, you're always fresh. You know, oh, this is what the Lord has done for me. And that is how we are going to overcome some of these challenges that are coming our way. We were created to overcome. We were not created to be overcome. We are created to be victors, not to be victims. If you are living the basics, then you are probably still struggling with the basic of Christianity. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought or reasoned like a child. Everything I did was childish, but I was a child. But when I grew up, when I became adult, I put aside all childish behavior." Let's pause for a moment. And let's look at our friends who are eating grass and those others. Let's just pause for a moment. Where is maturity there? I mean sincerely. Where is maturity? Even the human one. Not just the spiritual. Even the human one. If you're going to give spiritual leaders, wherever they are, total control of our lives in such a way that we cannot question what they are saying, that we cannot put a mark to the standards that the scriptures have placed, then we are doomed. This is my benchmark. It doesn't matter who is going to speak. It doesn't matter whether it is Joel Austin, T.D. Jakes, or whoever other great preachers that we know. This is my benchmark. His benchmark may be higher, that's fine. But if I read that part of the scriptures and it doesn't resonate with me, I'm not moving. That's me. There is no way you'll see Julius eating grass. I'm declaring that. No. There is no way you'll see me doing some of those behaviors of $55, $54 every week that God is going to bless me. Really? No, nimekata. It is not true. It's not biblical. Let's face it. Come on, church. There are ways that God can bless us. And it's all here. It's all in the Word of God. But if you read the scripture and you see somewhere and you can say, verse 7 of this one says this, verse 6 of this, that is 42. So if I'm told to give $42, that's fine. God will bless me. Go ahead. But I will not join you. Because that's not what the Bible is telling me to do. We have tied ourselves with so many things that people say. People do their mathematics outside there. They know how they're going to fund that new thing. They know how they're going to do things. And they come and they maneuver and they manipulate and they use the Word of God to. And, you know, you so blindly get yourself entangled in those things and say, hallelujah. And it says, $54, the first one. And really, not you. Another really will be the first one to come with a check of $54. And I say, you are blessed, my brother. You already are. Beyond the basics means also to go beyond some of the decisions that we make. There are some decisions that you'd make. If somebody was to look at you, the person would wonder, is this person the same person that I knew? Is this the same person? As I was thinking or contemplating about living beyond the basics, I realized that we all have stages that we have moved on in life. From wherever you came from. Whatever form of education that you went through, it is progressive. 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 Why is it that your life can progress physically, but your spiritual life cannot progress? Because we've put aside this book for somebody else to read for us. And even when it comes to decisions, we are being told what to do when those things don't even affect us or don't even relate to us in any way. But this person we've come to see, you know, to say or view them as if they are the people who just speak the Word of God. How do you know it is the Word of God if you've not read that scripture, if you've not gone through that scripture yourself, if you've not asked God, reveal this Word to me. I'm confused. Reveal it to me. The same Holy Spirit will reveal that Word to you. The same Holy Spirit. And even now I challenge you. The scriptures that you've read today, write them down somewhere. Go and read them for yourself. If the Holy Spirit does not reveal to you in the manner that I've revealed them to you, I'm a fake. I'm a fake. But I challenge you to go and read the words for yourself. I challenge you. Times have come when ministers, we come and speak not just the Word of God, but we speak about what other people have said or what other people have done. So the pulpit is no longer a place where we are articulating the things of God, but articulating what the author, you know, so-and-so wrote, what so-and-so, you know, wrote, what the other person. When are we going to mature if we don't speak the word of God and handle the word of God in a way that it challenges me, it tests me, it questions me, and when I'm going, I'm asking myself, I need to go and read that verse again. The prodigal son is a good example. He went through a progression. When he was asking for his father to give him his share of his wealth, that's all that he wanted. That's all he cared for. It's selfish. That's what infants are. They are selfish. Me, mine, me, mine. That's all that it is. You know, give me the remote. You know, I want to see cartoon. That's all that they want. They are children. That's what they are. But when they mature, they start realizing, oh, I need to start considering the other person. I need to think about the other person. That's the prodigal son. His level of understanding was basic. But when he went there and the life really tested him, he realized he made a mistake. And I need to go and correct that mistake. I'll go to where I wronged, where I made the mistake, and I'm going to correct that again. Creatures tend to make decisions based on where they are and what they have experienced. And often this is unreliable to predict the future and inadequate to make decisions about the future. We depend on what others are doing. We depend on what others are telling us. But at what time do I say, no, but God, what is your will over my life? What is God speaking to me? What is God telling me? I'm not trying to spiritualize things, but children of God, we are spiritual beings. That's who we are. If really we are waiting for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and being transformed, then I'm different. If you don't believe in that, then we're in different camps. I believe that a time is coming that those that are dead are going to rise up and be the ones to meet the Christ in the air. Then we who are alive will be second to meet him up there. I believe that day is coming. So I'm a spiritual being. So if I know that is happening and you don't believe it, then I don't think I want to consult you in anything. Because we don't speak the same language. But if we believe that, you know, everything is going to happen here on earth and this is going to be, something is going to, you know, change to whatever, and then something, you know, bang, you know, a new heaven comes or a new earth comes in and then we start living here, that's fine, we can relate. But for me at this point in time, I'm believing that Christ is coming back again. And if he's coming back again, I want to live like a person who is ready. I want to believe as a person who will not be caught unaware. I want to believe what the word of God says is true. I want to hang on it. I want to depend on it. It becomes my voice. That my life becomes Christ-like. That I'll think Christ. I will live Christ. I'll breathe Christ. If we can't do this, then really, are we Christians? If everything we say, if our businesses are not centered in Christ, then where is Christ in our lives? Isn't it then that it becomes so dangerous to live a Christian life because we are so entangled or so united or connected to the basics? And when those other things that are unbasic happen, we just find ourselves kneeling and eating grass. Taking up that Bible and reading it for yourself and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal those letters to you. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. He says, but whoever obeys his word, truly in this person, the love of God has reached perfection. It is fighting on. It's reading on. Keep on reading that word of God. Even when you don't understand, Keep reading on. If you find yourself stuck in a verse, you tell the Holy Spirit, reveal this to me. There are sometimes I used to receive emails from people, you know, what does this verse, you know, mean to you? And I don't mind, you know, saying what it means to me, but I don't know if it will mean the same thing to you. But at this point in time when I'm reading it, this is how it is being revealed to me. You know, but then it will help you to also be able to look at it from that dimension. Speaking to God on your own behalf is a sign of maturity. This is what I mean. And it is okay, please do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying that if you have a need, you don't come, because the scriptures reminds us that if you've got a need, call the elders, they'll come and they'll lay hands upon you and they'll pray for you. But the thing is, sometimes you're so dependent on those people more than ourselves. We feel that I have no power. We look at ourselves and we diminish ourselves. And we are the ones with the need. If I can't pray for myself, if I can't be able to intercede for me, who else can do better than me for me? Okay, I think we missed it. So let me try and say it this way. If, for example, in my family, I know the issues that go around my family better than anybody else. I am the right person to pray for my family because there are some things that I can speak and name them as they are. In a way, I can't speak here. In a way, I can't speak to Willie. In a way, I can't speak to Julius right there. In a way, I can't, no matter how close you are as my friend. When it comes to some issues about my family, I will intercede. You know why I'm going to intercede? Because it's the same spirit, it's the same God. But sometimes things become so persistent and you say, join me in prayer. There's some stuff that I'm going through. I need you to help me in prayer. And that is okay. But you need to be interceding for yourself. But if I'm going to depend on you to pray for me, if I'm going to be depending on you to intercede for me, as I just sit there with my poses, there is something wrong with me. I think I'm still drinking milk. Having the realization, number three, living beyond the basics. What does it mean? Having the realization you are heading the wrong direction and turning back. Having the capacity and the willingness to turn back, to stop yourself and tell yourself, I cannot continue this way. This is the wrong direction. Those are signs of maturity. Those are signs of a person who has read the scriptures. Those are signs of a person who understands the word of God. Those are signs of a person who knows that I am doing the wrong thing. I need to stop like now and turn away from what I'm doing and return back to my maker. But if you're still doing something wrong and you know it is wrong and you keep on doing it, there is something wrong with that and you're living dangerously. You're living dangerously like what Hebrews says in 6:1. It's a dangerous living. But when you realize that you made a mistake and you're taking a corrective action, when you take responsibility of your mistake and say, yeah, that's me, I was wrong. Should never have happened. I'm making corrective measures. Those are signs of maturity. Am I speaking to somebody today? My challenge to you today as I come to the end of this sermon is that let's live our lives beyond the basics. Let's ignite our faith to move beyond what we are so used to. It's like when you go to that school, to that university, you did not remain in the same level. You progressed. If you progressed in those areas, why can't we progress in our Christian lives? Why don't we progress in our Christian lives so that if our conversations change, our habits change, our decisions change, the way we pray, the way we react, the way we hear the word of God and we process it in our minds, it changes. Those are signs of maturity. When you can read the scripture for yourself and say, you know, I was reading the word of God the other day and it told me in this verse that, and you're able to articulate, those are signs of maturity. But if this word has no meaning to you, that it only creates meaning when somebody speaks to you, something is grossly wrong. And I'm urging us to change. Because if we don't change, we're going to find ourselves in very queer places, doing very odd things. And that's what the writer of Hebrews says. It's going to be almost impossible to try and change this person. Because he says, what do you mean it's wrong to eat grass? This girl articulate says, no, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to eat grass. I feel closer to God after I chew this grass. We start justifying the wrongs that we've been told to do. We start justifying them. It's okay. It's okay. That's what happened to in Guyana, Jim Jones. It's people who are just living within their basics. They know about Christ. They know about salvation. They know about the cross. But that's all. They refuse to move on. And they can be manipulated in every way. Oh, come, join me. Let's do things together. Let's do this. And they just go blindly. It's time we took a stand as a Christian and say, I will read the word of God. I'll consult my God and see what he tells me about it. It's okay not to rush. It's okay. See, if I'm trying to manipulate you, I'll tell you right now, I want 5 people with $100 right now. And the Spirit of God is going to move into your lives right now. And because we are emotional beings, you know, you run over each other trying to bring Julius $100. And pray, what I'm going to do is just a bill I was going to pay. Take your time. Think a little bit. Just pause a little bit and say, really, if this is God, you know, I want to get what this man is speaking about. Show me in the scripture because this is the voice of God for us. You know, what is this saying? How does this verse really relate with me, you know, and running to give that $100? If he convicts you, go ahead. If he doesn't, that $100 is lost completely. Let's rise up, shall we? Let's go back to the basics, church. And when we identify where our basics are, We go beyond. We identify this is where we are. This is the basics. This is the elementary that we are in. And then aim higher. Am I speaking to somebody today? Close your eyes and meditate on the words that we've heard today. Just think for a moment where you are and what action you're planning to take over your life. If any action, beloved, is going to please another man, then don't do it. But if that action is going to go back to the scriptures and asking God, reveal these words to me, then it will be the right thing.
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy. All the day at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that we have heard this afternoon. Help us, Lord, to go back to the scriptures and ask, what is it you're telling us? What are you telling me, O God? Regardless of who has spoken, if we have doubt in our hearts, oh God, help us not to be ashamed. Help us not to feel embarrassed, but give us the courage to go back to your word. And as we go through this word, as we question, what does it mean? Holy Spirit, give us revelation. We are desirous to mature in our lives. As we feel pity and sympathy for those of our faith who have been misled to do things that are not normal, we pray that they may come to that realization that something is wrong and that God, you may change their lives. Perhaps they feel that their salvation is through works. Perhaps they feel that the only way they can get revelation is through works. Perhaps they feel that the way they can have a better understanding of you, oh God, is through works. I'm praying that God, individually, you may meet with each one of them, oh God, and save them and rescue them before the enemy snaps them and grabs them away. Praying for these ministers, oh God, who in their hearts, as Paul says, they are preaching out of envy or out of selfish desires. I'm praying that, God, you may meet them. Even as you spoke of the old prophets, people who are prophesying, and yet you did not send them, oh God. I'm praying that, God, your own way, you, oh God, will deal with them in the God way. Because we humans sometimes are so confused because of how they come dressed to before us. Because of how they come in appearance, they seem so real, so genuine. I'm praying for a spirit of discernment. That God, when we hear some words being spoken, our spirits, our discerning spirit will quicken us. Not to reject, but to separate what is wrong from what is right. By our own, oh God, we cannot be able to do it. But we ask you, oh Lord, to help us. Speak to our hearts, oh God. If there is any word that has spoken that is untrue, oh God, reveal it to this congregation this morning, oh God. But if there's a word that has spoken that is true, oh God, I'm praying that, Lord, you may reveal it to them as well as they go to read the scripture yet again and relate those words to their lives. That in the end, no man receives glory, but you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. May God richly bless you.